Hello and a very warm welcome. It's great to have you back for a new episode of the Equine 74 podcast. In today's episode, you can look forward to an exciting and, in my opinion, truly interesting conversation that Christian had with Christy Caruso. There's a good chance you may have heard of Christy before. Together with her partner Isadora, she runs the Hunter Jumper Equitation Training Facility, Franklin. What actually defines good, positive training? How do you deal with the expectations of students and their parents? These are just some of the topics Christy and Christian talked about in this conversation. Before I wish you lots of enjoyment and a great listen, just a quick note about our Equine 74 newsletter. If you haven't signed up yet, feel free to do so. We regularly share interesting information there and, from time to time, a special offer as well. And now, as promised, enjoy the conversation and have a great time listening to this podcast episode.
Welcome to a new episode of the Equine 74 podcast. Today, we are virtually on the road. I'm thrilled to have a guest who uses riding not just as sport, but as a way of life. She hails from Tennessee, but is currently at the Mecca of equestrian winter sport in Ocala in Florida. So welcome to the show, Christy Caruso.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Christy and I am sitting in Ocala at a nice place. The sun is going down. It's about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We're sitting in front of, is it a hunter place or show jumping place?
This is a jumper ring.
Jumper ring. So it's lovely over here. And we can hear some cars are driving. Maybe we see, we can hear a horse or trotting, see something. What kind of feeling is in the morning when you come to Ocala and you are here being with your whole team of students? Is there any specific energy that draws you to come here back every year?
Mostly because we reside in a colder area in the winter.
So is Tennessee cold?
It can be. It is very up and down. I mean, it was 70 degrees before we headed down here, which was very warm. It was very unusual than what the standard is. And then now they're going into negative degrees with a huge storm coming in. So We're very happy and grateful to be here and then have to be stuck a little bit longer. So yeah. We're not upset.
Okay.
But it's a lovely horse show, and we've spent a few different places in Florida, and we keep on coming back here to World Equestrian Center because it just offers so many things for all of our clients and young horses.
Do you know how many horses are actually here?
This week seems to be a little bit lighter week. I know next week is going to be completely sold out with the bigger equitation classes. Roughly off the top of my head, I mean, I would say around 4,000, 2,000, maybe closer to like 2,000, 2,500, because a normal standard show might be between, 800 to 1,000. So this is quite big.
Okay. So let's go back in history. Mm-hmm. You are young. The listeners can't see you, but I can see you.
Yeah.
So you're coming from Chicago, I know.
Originally.
How do you get to the horses? Is your family, do you have a horse family background, or how does it come that you start riding?
Yes. I mean, some people say that I was born on a horse. Okay. My mother actually did three-day eventing.
Oh, nice.
Up until she was about 4 months pregnant with me. She competed all the way through prelim. And then my dad was actually a driver for Standardbreds.
Oh.
And he had his family raced horses, and then he worked at the rehab center and swimming horses. So growing up, he would even shoe my horses.
Okay.
He is no longer in horses. He has not done that for quite some time. My mom still dabbles a little bit, but I was definitely born into it.
Okay. And then you have siblings, are they riding too?
I have an older brother. He rode once and threw himself off, and then he has never ridden again. Yeah.
Okay.
He did not get the same genes.
Okay, and then you moved to Tennessee from all up from Chicago, or how comes that you're going?
No, I actually first moved to Kentucky. I went to college at Murray State in Kentucky. I was actually supposed to go to North Carolina, and the week before I was supposed to leave for school, they were possibly in the process of losing their accreditation for financial reasons. And so I knew a friend that went to Murray State in Kentucky. And so a week before school was supposed to start, I got accepted and I drove my horse down there. My parents thought they were crazy. Then none of them ever went to college and none of them ever moved away. And so they came down here and to help me move into Kentucky, and I never went back.
Oh.
I never went back. But I graduated from Murray State, and from there I signed up on Yard and Groom for Lewisburg Farm. And I went straight up to Boston, Massachusetts, which again, they thought I was crazy. but it was a lovely farm. McLean was riding for them and Candace King was riding for them.
Yeah, great.
It was some of the toughest year that I could ever go through, just jumping into that world. But I've learned so much and it just kind of, trickled into where I am today. Mm-hmm. When I went down to, because they winter in Wellington, Florida, they have a farm in there, and that's where I met the Olympic rider Joe Farges, and became really good friends with him, and he started being a mentor of mine, and I loved watching him ride and train horses along with McLean and Candace and the grooms. I mean, the grooms were top notch. One was the top manager for another FEI rider that for 16 years, and they were the toughest that they could possibly be on this, the youngest person working for them, 21 out of college. But I don't regret it, and they're very close friends of mine.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. But I met Joe, and he told me that Christian Curry, a farm vet, was looking for somebody and needed somebody to manage their whole facility.
Okay.
And so that's how I ended up in Tennessee.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. This is a story.
Yeah.
So Chicago, Kentucky, mm-hmm. Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And between this was Wellington.
Wellington, and I actually had an internship, the Kentucky Equine Management internship, a semester of during college, where I was still in college, but I was employed by Coolmore Farm. So I lived in Lexington for six
Coolmore
months.
Coolmore Stables?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, very close friends of mine still. And so I did. They have two seasons. I did it during the breeding season. So I had to wake up in the middle of the night, also freezing in like their beautiful stone and cement farms, and help deliver. Gosh, that farm probably had about 50 or 60 mares full out that year. So it was a lot of late night and early mornings.
No nights.
Mm-hmm.
As I know, you have a very deep connection with your horses. When you walk through the barn in the morning, is there a specific moment or a look of a horse or whatever, a smell, whatever it is, where you say, this is exactly why I do what I do?
Absolutely. It's, no one wants to get up as early as we do before the sun rises, and you wake up and you're tired. And the moment that you just walk into the barn, and it's just this like blissful feeling. No one is really saying too much. Like, we all just know what our jobs are in the morning. And mm-hmm. and the moment that you walk in and that, we all have our certain horses, some that I don't own, but they just know who we are. And they just look at you and they'll nicker or whatever it is. And it is just a feeling that is just complete bliss. And you know exactly why you do it.
Okay, mm-hmm. Nice. When you're looking for a new horse, for instance, whether you're for yourself or for a client, a student, it's I know it for myself, it's like picking a needle out of a haystack. So when you see a horse, when it first steps in front of you, even before you sit on the horse, what is something, 3 points where you say, okay, wow, this is a horse? Is it the eyes? Is it the...
It depends completely. I mean, their demeanor, for sure. Their demeanor, for sure, is me and my business partner have had a niche of finding that needle in a haystack of a horse, not just because of their ability, but their mentality and then their price. So mm-hmm. it seems like every person that comes up to us is looking for that same type of horse. And we've been very grateful just to have a barn of lovely horses. It really just depends on if it's for myself or if it is for a client, if it's for a hunter or a jumper, or depending on their age or what they're looking to do and what their riding style is. But definitely their personality, you know, how is this going to be a safe horse that's going to be able to be managed by, you know, an amateur yeah. or a junior?
Yeah.
Because it might not be the prettiest horse or the safe or the, you know, the most, even the winning, you know, horse. But if it's going to be safe, that's going to be their number one
thing. So you have different aspects on different amateur students, young students?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then, and you do training in hunter, equitation, and show jumping?
Mm-hmm. All of it. All wow. of it. Yes. Isadora, my business partner Isadora, she primarily does the hunters and equitation. I was primarily supposed to do just jumpers. And then
okay, with Lane Ward and all these guys, sure.
Yeah, but then somehow I have just the same amount of equitation riders and hunter riders as well.
Okay. So how many students you have already here at Down? 20?
Yes, we have 20. We have 20 horses here. We manage a 22 stall barn, but then we have also outside clients. So we have clients that'll meet us from the horse shows, from different parts of Tennessee, and mm-hmm. then in Georgia, and then another owner of ours has her own barn right there in Tennessee as well. That's close, and then some other people will ship in. They more and more seem to find us and accumulate.
Yeah, that's nice. We will talk later about how to get in contact with you. You have to say the your website. Coming to the students, talking about the horses, you love horses, you have a very good feeling for horses, you are very clear when you look at the horse for different types, students, your own or clients. Let's go to the humans. You have a group of students with you, Kala. A lot of people talk about talent. Mm-hmm. If you see McLean Ward or Kent, mm-hmm. you think, wow, what kind of talent? But they always say they are the first in the morning and mm-hmm. in the evening they are the last going out of the stable or the ground. So it's hard work. Is it something, how would you weight them if you say talent, hard work, natural feeling? What are the points where you say this is something you need if you want to? You don't have to get all the ribbons. It's just mm-hmm. to be a good rider, to get horsemanship. What are these points you say? Let's say you have a student and he's talented or semi-talented. So what are you talking to him?
I've been very grateful for having kids. Some that my students now range from, what is it, 8 years old? Well, I guess my daughter, 5 years old. but all the way up into their, you know, 60s. I think a lot of like the teenagers that come to me, I'm grateful they have a natural feel. Mm-hmm. They have good basics that they came up to me with. And that gets them to a certain point for sure in the lower divisions. And then when they start stepping up into more competitive divisions, you know, they're going against a lot of other kids mm-hmm. that have that same feel. And that's where the want wants to come in as well. Me and my business partner have came from absolutely nothing and, mm-hmm. and we made it against all odds. Just for continuing to have hard work and because it was really in our heart and soul to want to do this. And I definitely press that into my kids and I make that very clear to all their parents, which they're yeah. happy about as yeah. well. I said, you know, this is a very expensive sport. Mm-hmm. It involves a live animal as mm-hmm. as well. I understand on how much money that they're putting into it and time, obviously traveling with their children, you know, across
yeah, sure.
states and,
yeah.
and having to change around personal and family plans. And some of them have multiple children, you know, too. So they have to juggle a lot. We will never move up a kid too fast. That mm-hmm. we're
so it's not pushy.
No. It's not just about them, but it's also about the horse. You mm-hmm. know, we don't interchange our horses quite much. Like, we look at the longevity of our horses, mm-hmm. And we're not in a program that has a lot of turnover of our horses, unless they're looking to, you know, step up into a different level.
Yeah.
Or if it's getting older. But we want our horses to last as long as possible, so we're not going to jeopardize anything that would hurt the horse mentally or physically just because somebody wants to jump bigger. Mm-hmm. So I think it is a fine line. I mean, that natural feel can get you to a certain point, mm-hmm. but then you have to really want it and want to make this, or you stay at a lower level and this is just your hobby, mm-hmm. Which is fine, fine
yeah.
as well.
Okay. I have read something about you. Do you say read or read? Read.
Read,
okay. You know I'm German, so it's sometimes a bit tricky.
I know, it's okay. I'm from here, and still people make fun of the way that I say things. I'm just living in all those places. They say that I don't make sense. It's a combination.
So, I read, Christy, your coaching style is often described as incredible motivating. And I think this is something typical, yeah, American. Always positive, always thinking positive and not pushy, insane. You have to. Always people come. I see this down here. People come out of the ring and say, "Ah, this was fantastic. This was good. This was good." And in Europe, we start. You could have done this and that and this and that. And then you said, "Did I something good?" Oh yeah. Between the 2 and 4 or 2 and 3, this was okay. The rest was you have to work on. So on here you say, okay, it was good between 2 and 3. Very good between 5 A and B, and that's it. And then maybe later you talk about things what haven't done or doesn't work well. So describe this way. Why are you doing this so different than we do it?
I have to say, I don't know if that describes me. I'm learning to be that way, but I actually grew up with very tough trainers, multiple German trainers, and then just everybody along the way. And so I have a little bit of that German style completely. And my business partner, she has lovely, like, positive way, and she has a lot of older amateurs, and she's even worked with me about how to come to my students when they get out of the ring and to say more positivity. And it's not that I'm not saying anything, like, you know, that's not positive, but I feel like they know what they've done wrong. I usually kind of do the opposite, that, like, what you said is, you know, say, bring up some of the things, you know, mm-hmm. or ask them to tell me what they feel like happened in the areas that didn't go well. Mm-hmm. But then I end with a positive mm-hmm. to kind of bring them back up, because I want to keep their confidence up. And if they lose the confidence in themselves, that's, I think, the worst thing that could happen to them in the ring. So I'm a little bit different than most. I try to say it, obviously, in a positive way. But still make it very clear on, and so they just have clarity for when they go back into the ring the next time.
Okay.
I wouldn't say I'm as tough as what I grew up with. Yeah. We still think about it now, you know, gloves thrown at your face if you were looking down, and ropes tied behind your back to sit up, or my eyes closed, which I have made my kids go to a fence with their eyes closed, but mainly just to use feel. To use feel, just to have different learning tactics to try to give them some of the skills that I learned myself.
Mm-hmm. How do you typically structure a training session with students, different levels?
So we have a full training program, and a typical, you know, week at home is we usually do 2 lessons a week. That isn't always jumping. I mean, we work a lot on the flat work, whether mm-hmm. if it's flat work, you know, dressage. Obviously, I grew up with eventing, so I think that's just crucial. As Joe Farge says, the jumps are just in the path of your flat work in between the ring. So we do a lot of that. So primarily 2 training lessons a week, and then depending if I have a lot of kids and a lot of adults that travel. So I have quite a few kids now that I started when they were 11 and 12 mm-hmm. and are now have gone off to college.
Okay.
But they've kept their horses with me. So they, whenever they come back in town, they'll have training sessions. Otherwise, I flatten, keep their horses fit while they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with a lot of my amateurs that are traveling a lot with family or just busy with work life. But otherwise, if they're in town, then they are supposed to take the stuff that they have learned in their training sessions and then apply it and continue their flat work.
Okay.
Themselves.
And yet you're looking always on them and give them...
We're always around. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So yeah. It's nice between myself and Isadora that we always have eyes on each other's students. So we make sure that they're doing stuff correctly or see if they're having a problem.
Yeah.
It's like they're always having training.
Yeah, but this is the only way, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If you see sometimes, Frank is Lothar, and I see who is calling him and asking for coaching.
Mm-hmm.
This is top level, and they still ask him, give me some advice, what do I wrong? So this is never ending story of learning.
But it wasn't always like that. I mean, me and Isa, we always talk about how, I mean, I never boarded with a trainer. So I would train at home with my mom and we would trail her in and then we would go back home and hopefully we would be able to get a lesson in, in the next few weeks or the next month. So we just came back and just like remembered everything that was in that lesson. And I think that is one thing that is missing in America a lot with just the training programs that we do have of people really practicing that technique by themselves
mm-hmm.
and not always somebody telling them every step of the way and just really letting them think about it themselves and work on it themselves and then coming just like doing homework, mm-hmm. In school.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned your mom. Your dad, Joe Farges, Meglin Ward,
mm-hmm.
Each of them is in some case a mentor, mom and dad something different.
McLean, I was a lot younger, so I was just a low-level groom there, but I still watched every single time that he got on a horse, like what he did. And
this is also part of learning and mm-hmm. education. So
absolutely.
Yeah. What's the most valuable piece of advice you ever received for one of your mentors? In terms of horses, not on your personal way, be straight, whatever, of horses, looking at horses, riding horses, training horses.
I think one of the best qualities of looking at horses for sure is definitely from Joe too, is that you just want a peaceful, correct horse. A horse that is correct both directions, looks balanced in both directions, and again, has the correct mind, because when you're going in big classes, you want a horse's mind to be confident. They could be the most talented horse in the world, but if they get nervous in high-level situations, in big classes, in new locations, and especially like you can see at this horse show of how much stuff is going on in the crowd and the movement, even a really, really nice horse can lose their talent if they have nerves involved. So just a peaceful, calm horse, but that can keep their focus to be able to perform when the pressure is really on as well.
This is a nice view on performance and nerves. And as we are from Equine 74, we have products for stomach problems. And a lot of people, riders, owners, when they ask me, they mostly talk about, not about prevention, they talk more about healing.
Mm-hmm.
So my horse has ulcerations. We use GastroGuard, which I think is a super product if you want to heal your horse in terms of ulcerations. But more and more people think about prevention, and you especially, you're using our Equine 70 or Stomach Calm Relax, the mm-hmm. paste. Maybe give me an idea what kind of horse you tried at first and how did you feel the difference? You sit on the horse, or did you see it because it was a client's or customer's or a student's horse? What was the feeling? What was the kind of horse and what comes out?
It was a few years ago that I had young horses that were jumpers, so I still wanted them to be able to, perform and not be dull.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a very new venue for them. Sometimes it for some of them, it was their first horse show ever. And they were mares also.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Which I know people have said so many things about mares, and you know, once you gain their trust, like, you know, they will do everything for you. I don't think I had fully gained their trust, you know, too. They were still very new to me. And so it was quite overwhelming. It was quite overwhelming for them just to be in this environment.
Yeah.
And I tried some just, you know, calming tubes, but I felt like it just made them very dull.
Yeah.
And that's not what I wanted. And I feel just with the travel itself, it's a long way. I mean, in the truck and trailer, you're looking at 13 hours, mm-hmm. and then our horses are used to a lot of beautiful turnout, which, you know, we come down here and we try to get them moving as much as possible, but you still can't replicate what they have at home.
At a farm, sure.
Mm-hmm. So I think it was a little bit of nervousness, but it was mainly because their stomachs were getting aggravated. Mm-hmm. And then that mixed with the nervousness, like you can feel throughout their body, you know, was just very tight. And so Christoph,
the body language,
just every time that whenever you squeezed them, they wouldn't get round. They wouldn't give you that jump that you knew that they were capable of. And so Christoph Schroeder had mentioned about the product, and let me try a tube for each one of those mares. And it was a substantial difference. You know, not only were they calmer and they accepted my leg on him, but then they weren't so distracted, you know. I think it was because when their stomach hurts and it doesn't feel good, and then they're in this new place, it was just a combination of everything. So I got that relaxed feeling from them, but without them being dull.
Yeah.
And then from there, I kind of tried it on some peculiar hunters that I have that are lovely in their home horse shows, but in this type of environment was a lot for them, and they hadn't been in this area before. And it was the same thing. It was the same thing where I got that just because they were naturally quiet horses. But with the stomach tube, it just made them relaxed, and it made them calmer in the schooling area with trafficy horses. And I think just nervousness and stomach issues is the number one thing that happens with horses, especially with traveling.
Yeah. And do you think they are then more concentrated?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like the younger horses, like I said, they can either be trafficy or just unfocused.
Yeah.
You know, looking around, especially the mares that have all the other hormones playing against them.
Yeah.
So that's a crucial product that we use that has worked great now for what I think it's been about 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, this is the most riders using it, and it's using amateurs, leisure riders, Olympic riders. We had several in Paris at the Olympics, mm-hmm. using it, and they say they are just concentrate because they don't have, and my explanation is always, you couldn't run if you have stomach pain.
Absolutely.
And I would say to you, let's go for 100 meter or 5K run. They mm-hmm. would say, no way, no way, no way. So this is what we do with the horses sometimes. So the paste is building a lid. The acid cannot splash on the upper part of the stomach where the inflammations are. That's why they are relaxed and they don't have any pain anymore. They are happier. I think they are more happy when they use the paste.
And the best quality is that they're happy to have it. There's a lot of times in the other paste that are just very large amounts and they taste horrible. And every single time that we would walk into the stall, you would see them turn their butts to it.
Yeah.
I have some horses now, I mean, all of the horses like it, but some of the horses will literally grab the tube and I'm trying to pull it out of their mouth and we're just like, there's no more in there. Or they will just, I can put it in my hand and they can lick it on my hand.
Okay.
And again, then they're happy for us to walk into their stall and give them a supplement. And it's not making them aggravated just to take it in the first place. So when you're administering it to, you know, 20 horses a day and they're not like spitting half of it out, you know, they're actually going to take it. Yes,
yeah.
It's an absolute nightmare.
Okay. That's almost done, our podcast. I have some either or questions.
I'm ready.
Tennessee mountains or Florida sunshine? No, not.
I know.
Yes or no? Why not? Tennessee mountains or Florida?
Tennessee mountains.
Okay. Early bird in the barn or night owl doing video analysis?
Early bird. I love early.
Groundwork or straight into the saddle?
Groundwork.
A talented but difficult horse. Difficult, you know what I mean. Or a steady schoolmaster with less flash?
talented horses with a little quirk. It seems like it's my whole barn. They just find me.
Classical horsemanship or modern show jumping?
It can't be both. No.
Yeah, this is a tricky question.
I think modern show jumping is evolving more, so I would go with that.
Mm-hmm. Coffee or iced tea while training?
Coffee, for sure. I may live in Tennessee now, but I'm from Chicago, and Italian, it's coffee all the way.
Espresso, pepper water.
Yes, anything.
Okay. So I said this before. If people who listen to us want to get in contact with you, what's your website? What's your social media, your Facebook website?
It's Ananda Farm, which is a little different than most. We did it for a reason. It's actually Buddha for the highest level of happiness and pure bliss, which that's what me and my business partner go in and why we do it is for the horses. We do have social media. We don't have a website. We've been so busy that we haven't gotten around to it.
And you're doing Instagram or Facebook?
Yes, yeah, okay. We do Instagram and Facebook for sure. We're a smaller barn, and we kind of like it that way too, just because we came from wanting to be able to put our eyes on every horse and see every horse and know every horse. And sometimes when it gets too big and commercialized, you know, you'll lack that. And so we really strive to have that home feeling, mm-hmm. and be able to really be involved in every single horse that's in our program.
It's a nice philosophy. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
So, wasn't that a fascinating and inspiring conversation? I certainly think so, and I hope you felt the same and enjoyed this episode just as much. Before we wrap up completely, there's just one small final note. If you'd like to learn more about our Equine 74 range, feel free to visit us at www.equine74.com. And for everyone who would like to find out more about Christy and Isadora, you can find them easily on Instagram at AnandaFarmLLC. We'd love for you to leave a comment and let us know if this topic resonated with you, whether you've dealt with it before, and which topics you'd like to hear more about on the podcast in the future. We always appreciate your feedback, and of course, we are happy if you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss the next episode. Until it's time again to say hello and welcome to a new episode, I'm Tanya, wishing you all the best and looking forward to the next episode with you.